This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, the year was 1640 when two buildings were being constructed. One where I come from and the other one where you and I are today, right here. Both exist. One remains exactly as it was when it was constructed. The other one grew enormously. One has two occupants, both dead. The other has thousands who come to learn and go out to rule the world. One was funded by the wealthiest monarch of the time, whose empire accounted for 25% of global GDP. The other was funded by local people. Today, the first one is dependent on government largesse and the whims of politicians. The other has an endowment fund of $53.2 billion. One has a few poverty-stricken Muslims who sweep and clean and try to keep the masjid that is part of the complex alive. The other has 16,000 staff and faculty, including 2,400 professors and lecturers. Guess the names of the buildings. I'm sure you know the names of the buildings. The Taj Mahal and Harvard. That is why they have the world and we have the tombs. We live today in times that I call forks in history. You are driving down a road, you come to a fork, you have to choose, left or right. We are living in a fork time in history. Times characterized by global turmoil, pandemics, wars, financial collapse, and revolutions. Times of hardship, disaster, and death. But thanks to all these things, the foundations of the structures of society are shaken, and for a short time, it is given into the hands of ordinary men and women to change the path of destiny. Remember that each generation gets an opportunity. The results of what they do with it last, in some cases, for centuries. Today, we are living by the decisions taken in the 17th century. What we choose to do today will affect generations to come. What do you want that to be? That's my question. We must choose, because this is our only chance. Let me ask you a question. If I ask you to compare the importance of your children's Islamic education to something else in their lives, what would you compare it with? As important as what? Secular school, sports, entertainment, what else? I'm asking because this is the choice that you will have to make going forward, sometimes maybe every day. Remember that it's not a life and death choice, because death is inevitable. It's a Jannah or Jahannam choice, because neither is inevitable. Both are the result of making the right choices. So ask yourself, which is more important? Jannah for you and your children, or whatever else you are thinking of. I'm not being dramatic. I see what you perhaps don't see, because I'm a history major and I've studied history all my life. We look with our eyes, but we see with our knowledge. That is how doctors diagnose, with knowledge. My brothers and sisters, the time has come for us to make a choice. Let me tell you two true stories. About 100 years ago, Muslims from the Middle East went to South America, to Brazil, to Argentina, to Venezuela. Today, of the original families, almost all have lost Islam. I've heard many stories of old men meeting brothers of Tabligh with tears in their eyes, showing them a ragged musalla, some with a copy of the Mus'haf, and lots of photos of their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, all non-Muslim. Remember that not even one was forced to convert. They left because nobody taught them Islam. Generation after generation. Parents were too busy. That is symbolic, huh? Generation after generation, parents were too busy to worry about their children. They thought that after all, Arabic was their mother tongue and the Quran was their inheritance. Islam was in their blood, and so nothing could happen to their children. They were wrong. Very wrong. Contrast this with South Africa, where Muslims went from India not 100 years ago, but 300 years ago. They lived through apartheid in small, segregated enclaves. Today, in Tarawih, in many big masajid, the first saf, the entire line, is reserved for Hufaz. How did that happen? It happened because of the maktab system. After school, maktab. 2 hours a day, 4 days a week after school. Now you might say, well, what about driving to and from the masjid? What about soccer and cricket and tennis and basketball and gym? They do everything but after the maktab. Many of them are business people, so their children also work in their shops. But most South Africans pray at least one salah in the masjid. They have some magnificent madrasas, but the backbone of the Islamic education is the maktab. That is the guard, that is the fortress which protected them for 300 years from the evil influences of society and preserved both Islam and their culture. Today, you see South Africans in all kinds of highly complex and powerful positions, but you also see their confident adherence to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They look like Muslims. They practice Islam with total confidence, and they work for the good of society in many ways. I have only one question for you. Which future do you want for your children? The South American one or the South African one? That is why we have decided to start the after-school program in our masjid, and we need your support. Not money, your time, your commitment, your dedication, and your personal assistance. Are you ready? I said not money because money will not come in the way of your child attending this school, inshallah. There will be a fee, but for those who can't pay, there will be subsidies. What we cannot do is to educate your child if you are not interested in that. I know you have many important things to do in your life. Simply ask yourself, which is more important than the life of your child? I'm not joking. The Akhirah is life, a life that will never end, far more important than this life. So anytime a thought comes to you about something else you need to do, apart from bringing your child to school, ask, is this more important than his or her life? If it is, please do it. If not, bring them to school. Our mission statement for this is to prepare our children to become Muslim role models, exemplary citizens in their communities, and a blessing to their families and neighbors. To connect them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they become walking, talking models of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To inculcate in them a love for the Quran and sunnah, so that they see the benefit of living by them. By living and demonstrating this in our own behavior, to inculcate in our children Islamic values, habits, attitudes, high moral and ethical standards, forgiveness and patience. Ask yourself whether this is worth it for your children. I am addressing you because your children's education is as much, if not more, about you as it is about them. Rasulullah ﷺ taught adults and they taught their children. We will therefore encourage you to spend time in the masjid with your children and participate in their classes. Please learn what they learn and practice Islam fully in your lives so that you become their role models. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to create your own sadaqa jariya by leveraging the blessing of your children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you. Jazakallahu khairan for listening to me. May Allah guide you to do that which is best for yourself and your children. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.